teaching us about discipleship here in Luke chapter 9. Very important passage, beginning down in verse 57. If you would turn there, Luke chapter 9, beginning in verse 57. The Bible says, "It came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." So I've entitled the message, "I will follow thee, but." I will follow thee, comma, but. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you'd use your word in our lives this morning as we open it up together. May the Holy Spirit take it and apply it and change us. Lord, meet needs, empower us, whatever needs to happen in our hearts. May you accomplish it through your powerful word. And Lord, may we be drawn closer to Jesus and give us that desire to be a true disciple of our Savior. We pray this in the name of our wonderful Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So Jesus, as you can see, did not mince words when he was approached by these people with good intentions. No question about it. Verse 57, it says, "This man said, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest." That's a great declaration. Wherever you go, Lord, I'm going to follow you. But, you know, God isn't looking for declarations. God's looking for disciples. And if you go to 1 John 3:18, the Bible makes it very clear that our love for God is not shown through our words. Our love for God is shown through our obedience. Go to 1 John chapter 3 and verse 18. Very important verse for us as Christians. It says, "My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." And you know, our church has heard me say this enough times, that love is action. Love is what we do. Now the feelings follow, but love isn't what we say. And this man said, "Lord, I'll follow you." Where is he? Was he at the cross? No. Was he there when Christ was taken in the garden? No. Where is this man? We don't even know who he is because he didn't follow Christ. But he made this bold declaration, "Lord, I'll follow thee whithersoever thou goest." And as we see, following Jesus, firstly this morning, requires sacrifice. Now, if people told you otherwise when you got saved, they didn't tell you the truth. There's a movement out there that's teaching everyone, if you'll just get saved, everything will be wonderful. You'll never have any more problems. You'll be rich. You won't have any health issues. That's not in the Bible. Matter of fact, the Bible teaches just the opposite, that once you get saved, then the battle begins between the flesh, the old man and the new man, between yourself and the devil and this old world. Up until that point, there is no battle. You just serve the devil. You just serve the flesh and do whatever you want. But once you're a Christian, now it's a battle until the day we leave. And God uses trials to refine us, but Christ wants people to understand, and he wanted this man to understand that right up front, if you're going to follow me, there's sacrifice involved. If you're going to be a true disciple, there's sacrifice. And so he said, verse 58, "The foxes have holes," referring to his creation, the animals. He said, "The foxes have a place to live, the birds have nests, they have a place to live, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head." You say you'll follow me wherever I go. I don't even have a place to live. I don't know from night to night where I'm going to be sleeping. What was he saying? He was saying that if you want to follow me, this is what it's going to be like. There's going to be some sacrifice. And of course, we're told that if you go back to verse 23 of the same chapter, Jesus said, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me." The cross, of course, represents death. And what Jesus is saying is we must be willing to die to self, to crucify self. As Paul said, I die daily. If we're going to follow Christ, there's going to be some sacrifice. If you go over to chapter 14, I'll show you another example of Christ talking about the sacrifice of discipleship. Luke 14, verse 33. The Bible says, likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. So God's saying, if you want to be a true disciple of Jesus Christ, you must be willing to take up your cross daily, and you must be willing to forsake all that you have. Not some, all. Because God owns it all anyway. And if you're born again, He owns you. And Jesus is saying that following Him, being a true disciple of Jesus Christ, requires sacrifice. And we all know that to be true. But are we willing to say, yes, Lord, I do want to be your follower. I do want to put you first in my life. I do want to be a true disciple of Christ. I am willing to take up my cross. And I am willing to forsake all that I have because you're worth it. And when we get to heaven, we're not going to have regrets if we chose to give it all to Christ. Now, we will have regrets if we, like this man, made bold declarations and just went off and did our own thing. But if we chose to say, I'm going to do whatever it takes to follow Christ, there's not going to be any buts in my life, I'm just going to do it, we will not regret it. Go to 1 Peter 2, if you would. One other verse on this, where the Bible makes it very clear that to follow Jesus Christ, there's going to be some suffering involved. 1 Peter 2:21. Notice the Bible says, for even hereunto were ye called. This is speaking to Christians. Because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow His steps. When we look at the steps of Jesus, was there suffering involved? Absolutely. And so the first man said, I'll go wherever you go, Lord. And looks like he just walked away. Jesus said, there's going to be sacrifice involved. But that's not all. Go back to our passage, Luke 9. Secondly, we see that if you're going to follow Jesus, it involves service. Notice he said unto another, follow me. He said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. So Jesus, this time, called out to someone and said, follow me. And he said, well, I've got to go take care of some things first. Jesus said, go and preach. If you want to be my follower, go and preach. Following Jesus involves service. When we get on down, he talks about a man putting his hand to the plow there in verse 62. I know that's kind of old school, and there might not be anybody. Is there anybody that's ever done that? That's actually climbed upon the plow and it wasn't automated? In other words, it was just being pulled by an ox or a horse or whatever. Yeah, see, it's kind of old school, but we all know this was hard work. You don't get much harder work than putting your hand on a physical plow and plowing the dirt. And today we got machines doing it for us, but they didn't back then. And so he chose something that everybody knows that is hard work, breaking up the dirt. And Christ is equating following him with plowing. It's work. He said to this man, if you're going to be my follower, then go serve me. Go preach the gospel. Get out there and do something. If you go to John 12, Jesus made it very clear that following Christ is serving Christ. They are synonymous. John chapter 12, look at verse 26. John chapter 12, verse 26. Notice the Bible says, if any man will serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Notice how Jesus equates serving with following. When he first called his disciples, he told them, he said there in Matthew 4, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. If you'll follow me, I'm going to put you to work. He didn't say, if you'll follow me, I'm going to make life all cushy. He told them the opposite. And at one point, remember they had the big argument where James and John sent their mama to Jesus? Can you let my son sit on your right and left hand of the kingdom? And the other disciples got all angry. And that's where Jesus said, are you able to be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with? He was referring to the baptism of suffering. He was referring to getting taken in the garden and being falsely accused and beaten and stabbed and eventually nailed to a cross. He said, are you willing to go through all of that for me? That's a big ask. And they said, yea, Lord. And of course, the Bible doesn't necessarily explain for each of the disciples. But some of the disciples were martyred for their faith. Most of them probably were. But what Jesus was saying was, if you're going to follow me, go to Mark chapter 9. If you're going to follow me, it involves service. It involves not only sacrifice, but it involves service. It involves getting out there and working for Jesus Christ. He left us here to work. Notice Matthew 9, verse 37. Did I say Mark? I meant Matthew. Matthew 9, notice verse 37. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Now Jesus is saying that if we are his follower, we are laborers. Modern day, we would call them workers. He's telling us that discipleship involves service, work, labor. The Apostle Paul said, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Abounding in the work of the Lord. God gave us gifts. He gave us the air to breathe. He gave us the abilities and the strength to serve Him. And that's what He wants us to do, to get out there and serve. Look for opportunities to put your gifts to use for the cause of Jesus Christ. That is true discipleship. And so the first man, he took as an opportunity to teach us that if you're going to be a follower of Jesus Christ, there is sacrifice involved. The second man, he took the opportunity to teach us that if you're going to be a follower of Jesus Christ, there is service involved. And then the third man, go to verse 61 of our Luke chapter 9. Another also said, Lord, I will follow thee. But let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. Jesus said, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit. The third man, he took as an opportunity to say, if you're going to follow Jesus, it involves total commitment. There are too many Christians out there that say, I'll do whatever, but... And if every Christian who ever said that at the end of their declaration of commitment to Christ were here this morning, we'd have to get more chairs. Too many Christians say, I'm going to do this for God, and then they don't do it. They don't follow through. If you go over to Luke 14, Jesus again elaborating on discipleship. And notice what he tells us here in Luke 14, verse 27. He says, whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Look at verse 28. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he hath sufficient to finish it? Anybody who sets out to build something is going to first make sure he's got all the building materials. It's just common sense. But he's talking about discipleship. And what he's saying is, he says, if you don't come after me and bear your cross, you can't be my disciple. Then he says, I want you to count the cost, is what he's teaching us. I want you to realize that there is cost involved. You need to be committed to being my disciple. There's going to be some sacrifice. You are going to have to get to work for me, and you have to be committed. You have to sit down and count the cost. And there's been many Christians over the years, over the centuries, who have sat down and they've counted the cost and said, I'm not going to do it. I love Jesus and I'm thankful that He saved me from hell, but I'm not going to give Him my all. I'm just going to give Him a piece. I'm going to give myself and the world the rest. You know, Jesus said in Revelation chapter 2, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. This is what he's talking about. Christians who started off committed, but they didn't finish committed. You know, the Apostle Paul talked in 2 Timothy, the last book that he wrote. He said, I finished my course. He said, I'm at the end of my life. I'm about to get my head cut off here in Rome. And I'm still serving Jesus Christ. I did what God called me to do, and I'm finished. God wants that for all of us. And it's not so much how we start, it's how we finish that counts. Are we still going to be serving Jesus like Brother Hemi? When we get to the end of our lives, when we get up in our 70s and our 80s, are we still going to be serving Jesus Christ? Or we will have been another one of those Christians that said, I'd rather just take it easy. I don't see that in the Scriptures, taking it easy, taking a break, stopping. It just isn't there. And there's just too many Christians that say, yes, Lord, I'm going to do whatever, but I got some other things to take care of first. And Jesus was basically telling the man, there is nothing more important than serving me. Can anybody come up with anything that's more important than serving Jesus? Of course not. And so then he finishes here in Luke 9:62, and looking back, no man having put his hand to the plow, which is hard work, talking about probably some of the hardest work you could ever get involved in, is plowing dirt by hand. He says, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Of course, two issues there. Number one, the looking back. He said, remember Lot's wife later on in Luke. In other words, we're Jesus's now. We're on a new path. We're on our way to heaven. There's no place to look back and say, oh, I wish I had what I had in the past, or this was where I was headed. No, this is where we're going. But also, if you're plowing, the worst thing you could ever do is look back if you're trying to make straight furrows in the dirt. It's not going to happen. If you don't pick something out on the horizon and keep your eye on that the whole time, you're not going to keep it straight. And nobody wants their field to look like this. So you can't look back. And yet, if you go to 2 Timothy, when Paul got to the end of his life, same chapter, 2 Timothy chapter 4, he was pointing out some of the people that were such a blessing to his ministry, but he was also pointing out at least one example here of someone who put his hand to the plow and looked back. His name was Demas. Now, Demas started off as a follower and a helper of Paul, because Paul had a lot of people that traveled around with him while he was planting churches, and they were there to help him. And there were women with him that would cook the meals and do the laundry, and there were men that would help him with the work of the ministry. And here in 2 Timothy 4, verse 10, he says, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. Demas, who started off as one of my helpers, hath turned his back on me, and now he's left. He looks back. And Jesus is saying, those Christians who say, yeah, I'm going to serve Jesus, I'm going to give Him my all. He's had three different people now. The one says, I'll go wherever, Lord. The one who Jesus said, please follow me. And the one who says, I'll follow you, but. Three times He taught us a lesson about the same thing. He's looking for Christians who will say, I'm going to be 100% committed to Jesus Christ. I know there's sacrifice involved. I know it's going to require service, but Jesus is worth it. He bought me with his blood. He gave me eternal life. And my body and my spirit belong to him, and I'm going to use them to serve him. No looking back. If you go to Philippians 3, Paul talked about how he refused to look back. And Paul, of course, had an amazing upbringing, great teaching, spoke multiple languages, very intelligent man, obviously. And yet, once he became God's disciple, God's apostle, he said, none of that matters. All that matters is serving Jesus. Philippians 3:13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, forgetting them, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. The past, he says, is the past. For just leaving it behind, I'm just going to give Jesus my all. That's what Jesus is after. And God's plan is for all of us to be fit for the kingdom of God. As he mentions here. And yes, he may use trials to do it, to make us more fit. But if we don't set out to serve him, and don't set out to be willing to sacrifice for him, and don't set out to be 100% committed to him, it just makes it the process that much more difficult. God has to bring so much more into our lives to try to get us back onto that path. Much better to set out to serve him and then let him do his work in our lives, as we're told in Romans 8, that we might be conformed to the image of his Son. God wants us all to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, to be fit for the kingdom of God. But it takes commitment on our part. It takes a willingness to sacrifice. It takes a willingness to serve. And God has, I believe, so much planned for every believer. But we're the ones that have to say, yes, I'll do it, and mean it. And then God will use us, I believe. Too many Christians have a but attached to the end of their commitment statement. Lord, I'll do whatever except this. I'll do whatever you want, Lord, but. And all you're doing is just holding yourself back from what God has planned and lined up for you, which are great things. So I'll follow thee, but. Let's cross off that last word, amen, and say, oh, Lord, I'll do whatever. I'll sacrifice for you. I will serve you. And, Lord, I'll be 100% committed to doing whatever you want me to do, and I'm not looking back. I'm going to do it until you either take me out through the rapture or through death. I'm going to serve you. Let's pray.